which none of the princes of this world knew, because if they knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That being, I'm just quoting from memory as I look it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Man doesn't know, and God still holds man accountable for what he doesn't know. Because and we say, well, again, Paul had said in Romans 9, and this question is burning in the minds of some right now. If he does that, Romans 9, if God does what you say he does, Paul, then, verse 19, Romans 9, this is the verse you are thinking. You will then say to me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Good question. Good question or bad question? What do you think? Paul says, no. Who are you that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay to make of the same lump one vessel to honor, another to dishonor? He does have that power. He does use that power. People want to deny it. People think they're going to somehow exonerate God. It's only because they want to judge him that they need to exonerate him. He finds fault, and no one resists his will. Why? Because he knows there's fault, because he made it faulty. Oh, I thought all the things God made were perfect. Sure, but they're perfect in what their purpose is. In that sense, I don't want to be perfect like that, okay? So, yeah, I could claim to be perfect. I'm perfect the way I am. Yeah, that would take me right to hell. I'm perfect for hell. Or for death, you know, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Let grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. That's how it works. I don't want to be made fit for that. I want to be made fit for his kingdom. I want to be a vessel prepared into honor. See, people will say, well, wait a second. Why? How can he find fault with me? He made me this way. And I say, no, he can still find fault with you. Well, why? God hath created all things for himself, Proverbs 16:4. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. God created the wicked. And you understand, he created things that he sees as wicked. And then you will say to me, well, why does he do that? I wish he wouldn't do that. Why does God create wicked things? I wish God wouldn't create wicked things. Well, if God didn't create wicked things, he would not have created me, and he would not have created you. That's why it is foolish to ask that question. Because the wicked thing which God made is me. So if God was not in the business of making wicked things, then I would never exist. So do you see what a foolish question that is? Ultimately, you're questioning your own the validity of your own existence. And people ask it all the time, and it's just a manifestation of the foolishness of man. God made us. He could have made different people, after all. He could have made nothing but good people. People who would be thankful and never question. People would not be no wickedness at all. But this is what he chose to do, is to make wicked people and then to transform some of them into his own sons. Now, if he doesn't choose to do that to everyone, the ones who aren't chosen are going to find fault according to their nature, which is wicked. But still, they will not stand in judgment of God because they are what they are. You know what I mean? If you create an ashtray, it is meant to receive ashes. If you create a toilet, it is meant to receive something else. And so when God creates a vessel of wrath, it is meant to receive wrath. If God creates something that is ordained to life, it is meant to be brought to life. That's how he judges. He does not judge based on how hard we try, because how hard we try, we could never make ourselves acceptable to him. It's not about us making ourselves acceptable. It's about God making things which are acceptable to him. he makes. It's his work. He works in us to will and do his good pleasure. He works in us to make us like unto Christ Jesus. He works in us to give us the righteousness and faith which is possible, makes salvation possible by grace, which is his gift. This is the glorious gospel, to partake of the divine nature and become a son of God, and all that it takes to be that. That's all good news. You know what's good news to me? I can walk in righteousness. Good news to me is I can walk in godliness. Good news to me, I can deny worldly lusts and ungodliness. I can put those things aside. The good news to me is that Christ died that I could escape this present evil world. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, 4, something like that. And I was also before a blasphemer. I was more just a blasphemy to the name of Christ because I've called myself a Christian my entire life. I don't ever remember not believing in Christ. My father even testifies as a child. I looked at angels in my mobile and saw dragons, you know. my whole life, people say they saw God in me. But it was such a horrible testimony when I think back on what I've been. But you know what? That's the grace of God, exceedingly abundant, with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And look at, this is a faithful saying. Think about the way Paul ordains what he is about to say. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He's saying, I am chief among sinners. You know? I'm not even good enough to claim to be chief among sinners. What I mean is, like, you know, it's like I almost have more admiration for men who were with zeal and with dedication to their cause and ignorance or whatever and unbelief. But they went forward and did so much for evil. I'm not even that impressive, you know? I just look at myself and just, you know, lame, pathetic, low, you know? At least Paul had zeal. You know, I think it was Robert Bork or somebody. Someone could correct me. But Slouching Towards Gomorrah was the name of the book. I never read it, but I just remember that title, Slouching Towards Gomorrah. It's not like running or marching or stampeding or